In conflict-prone regions like Afghanistan, water has increasingly become the focus of global peacebuilding efforts. How can water, immersed in conflicts, be transformed into a motor for peace? What legal frameworks and strategies are necessary to drive these attempts forward? And why is it vital to include gender-specific perspectives? We explore these questions by delving into a case study from Afghanistan in today's episode of the Trend Observatory on Water podcast. My name is Binayak Das. I'm your host and head of the Water and Biodiversity Program at Adelphi, a Berlin-based think tank implementing the Trend Observatory on Water for the Swiss Development Corporation, in short, SDC. My guest, Dr. Seema Samar, is a renowned human rights advocate and Nobel Peace Prize nominee. She was vice president of the previous interim administration of Afghanistan, first minister of women's affairs, and chairperson of the Afghanistan Independent Human Rights Commission. Currently, she is a visiting scholar at the Tufts University Fletcher School. In this interview, Dr. Seema Samar offers a unique perspective on Afghanistan's water challenges and its potential for peacebuilding. Seema Samar, please tell us in a few words about yourself and your valuable work in relation to water and peace.
Thank you very much. My name is Seema Samar. I have been an activist on human rights and human rights defender for so many years. I was the first minister of women's affairs in Afghanistan after the first Taliban regime for 6 months. And then I was the chairperson of Afghanistan Independent Human Rights Commission. So now I am in exile once again.
Thanks for sharing, Seema. You are doing amazing by raising the issue of human rights and in relation to water and peace. Given the recognition of human rights to water by most UN member states, what are the current challenges in applying these rights effectively, and what reforms are necessary to practically implement this right?
Thank you. It's a very good question. So I think we still have a problem on implementation. What we saw because of the lack of water, because of the drought that we are facing in Afghanistan, people are forced to leave their villages and go to the city. This caused, one, the desertation of the villages, the reduction of agriculture production, which really fueled the food insecurity, the food scarcity, increased the poverty. And I think the other point that we saw, and I witnessed myself, the conflict because of the water within the village, because it's not enough water. So usually the neighbors or the people who live in one village, they fight because of the water. And it's usually the violence can start from there. And then, of course, it in a situation like Afghanistan, where we still have the ongoing conflict in the country, international conflict, I would say, then it's really fueled that. More importantly, I think, the lack of proper implementation of water policy increased the human insecurity. You know that the human insecurity is really a cause of conflict. To look at the outside issue of Afghanistan in relation to water, we have problem with Pakistan because our water is going to Pakistan. If they stop it, if they build a dam in order to save the water in the country or to produce electricity, Pakistan is willing to interfere and do whatever they can do. And we see it even today.
Thank you. You mentioned about conflicts within Afghanistan, about villages where people get into conflicting situations. To look at it from a positive perspective, can you please share how can local communities and civil society contribute to peace building?
Yes, I think it's the civil society and the community has a big role. I think that one of the responsibility of civil society to give awareness to the people in relation to the water and also in relation to the impact of the water within for the conflict. In this part, I really insist that we have to look at the water issue from gender-friendly lens because it's usually, unfortunately, women and children suffering from this. It's the women and children who goes and bring the water for the household. But even that is not counted as a work, unfortunately. It's unpaid labor. And it's really related also to the health of women. because I think we need to promote, civil society need to promote women's rights to reproductive health. The other issues that I would say that there's a good example in one of the districts in Ghazni, because the local people and also the people who are abroad, they contribute and send some money. People want to contribute to the building of small dams. This is a small water sources when it comes during the winter and spring. And you know, Afghanistan is mountainous and it's not very easy, but it is less costly to build the dam and keep the water from those small spring and winter water in order to actually save the water for the village. I think the other point that I would like to mention in here, the civil society has to also promote human rights, because access to water is a basic human right, and everybody has to have it. I think the local people in Afghanistan or any other country has to take this responsibility in order to raise awareness, in order to contribute to a proper use of water.
Thanks, Sima. Now I would like to come to a very different question. We are currently in the midst of numerous conflicts, with the increasing trend of targeting water infrastructure in conflicts. What legal measures currently exist and what additional protections are needed to safeguard these vital resources during and after conflicts?
I don't see it much, unfortunately, but it should be criminalized if they destroy their water resources. We saw it in Afghanistan because the water resources, we use the underground water, we call it quarries. They dig a long tunnel under the ground and then they have the water point there. When we had a lot of snow in the mountains, then that was the quarries and the spring was useful to have the water. And it was bombarded by the different group and destroyed it to push the people out of the village. That's why we had millions of refugees in Pakistan and Iran also. And the second point, I think, the overall militarization itself really have a destructive role on environment, on global warming, on other, I mean, we human beings, we destroy this planet for the future generation. And it's important at least to stop now. The third point, in my personal view, we need to keep the people who does it accountable for destruction of water resources or stop water. I mean, we can see now in the conflict, unfortunately, in the Middle East, and nobody is keeping them accountable. Cutting the water resources or destroying the water resources or stopping the water sources to the people during the conflict is a war crimes and crimes against humanity. And that should be criminalized. And I think it requires a lot of advocacy. And first of all, it requires that we acknowledge this is really crimes against humanity. And then, of course, it should be criminalized, codified in the international law. And then it should be a mechanism of accountability on it. And I keep saying that when all of us or the civil society were so happy when the Rome Statutes, ICC, was established, I think ICC has to be empowered. Usually, unfortunately, the national system is a political structure and they might not be capable to take this issue seriously. It should be some international mechanism in order to deal with it. If we do that, I think we stop somehow the culture of impunity on that. So in the future, hopefully, we will not see a lot of conflict.
Thanks, Sima. That's some very important points you made out there, especially how actually we need to look at taking steps for safeguarding our vital resources like water and for the protection of the human beings and society. Final question I have, what will be your message for the numerous people and especially the youth who are trying to use water as a means for peace building?
I think we need to promote the human rights principles and believe on it and implement that. And that is something that hopefully create an environment where the people could live with dignity. So discrimination and violation of human rights has to be stopped.
Thank you, Sima Samar,
for your valuable insights on the role of water for peace and human well-being.
If you would like to learn more about the topic of today's podcast and other important trends for the water sector, check out our Trend Observatory on Water website. You will find the link in the description. Thank you for tuning in, and goodbye.